Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
There you go.
You feeling awake?
Huh?
You feeling awake?
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
I don't have the grogginess, even if, no matter how little or much I sleep, like once I'm ambulating, I'm not groggy.
Once you're ambulating, perambulating.
Yeah. Whatever.
Isn't that what it is?
I thought it was ambulating, but I don't actually know.
From Teen Titans Go, that's the only thing I remember. It happened, guys. You know, the once a year Steve forgot that we were recording day.
I didn't forget.
You forgot.
Someone else forgot.
throw the blames.
I have the Facebook message to prove it.
Oh, okay. Is it to Cole saying, like, Joe's coming, wake me up?
No, it's on
wake me up before you go.
It's because it was from Friday.
Oh, okay.
It was not.
No, I know that we were recording today. That's why I'm here.
No. The message, I sent the message on Friday.
Oh.
So that's why it was forgotten.
Cool. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a very tight schedule today. I have to go waste 2 hours of my life watching Justice League in a little bit. The movie looks terrible, Steve.
I heard from someone who was not a fan of Batman versus Superman or
Man of Steel,
Suicide Squad, that it was better than both of those movies.
Yeah, well, that's not setting the bar very high.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'm kind of... I don't fucking care. I don't care about comic movies.
I'm going with Kevin for comic book logic, and we have a checklist of things that will they say these, which is like, aw, that's what I'm talking about.
They're not going to say
that. He's standing right behind me, isn't he?
Zack Snyder directed it, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to say that.
No? You don't think so?
No. Zack Snyder is known for a lot of things, and super cheesy dialogue is not one of them.
I don't know.
Not super cheesy dialogue like that. No way.
This movie looks kind of bro-ish to me.
There's no way.
Like, even the one female character they're going to have is kind of bro-ish in this movie. Yeah. Something always said. Oh, by the way, I wanted to yell at you about making me watch the Mist TV show. You didn't make me watch it, but you planted the thought in my head. That show is terrible. It's goddamn terrible. And I watched all 10 episodes of it. I was just like, this show has to get better somehow. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it was pretty mediocre.
It had such a great concept. Hey, remember the movie The Mist in 2007? It was pretty cool, wasn't it?
That movie was awesome.
It was a great movie. It's fantastic. Really moody and everything. You know, that entire town gets shrouded in this mist. So why don't we go to some of the other parts of the town and see what happens there? Oh, that's a great concept. That's really easy to do, right? Am I wrong?
They fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So,
although the last part when he fucking just like when he's driving away
and he drives into the
and he looks back and he just backs into the wall. That was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty cool.
that was like, yes.
Well, I mean, on top of it too, it's like, hey, Steve, you know what you want to watch? A 10-episode metaphor for rape survival. How about that?
No, I just like the biggest flaw with that
is because they didn't do monsters.
They didn't do monsters. They did.
Oh,
like,
yeah, absolutely, 100%. They didn't do monsters.
They did like a weird like it with the sole exception of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. That was pretty cool. But it's like, why is the Mist making things that you like? Why is it like personally attacking? It should have been fucking horrible Cthulhu monsters.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it's not even like the Mist from 2007 had horrible Cthulhu. I mean, there was some Cthulhu monsters, but I mean, like the giant insects and spiders and
crap. Well, there were the horrible Cthulhu monsters you never saw. You just saw the tentacle.
Well, you saw them like walking over, like
And the one kid got the one tentacle monster totally kills that one kid.
Yeah.
In the very beginning, but you never see it. You just see the tentacles, and they're acidic. Like, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That's Cthulhu-esque. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. I take no responsibility for this. The first episode, I was like, the show seems pretty cool. And then I finished it, and I was just like,
Well, I mean, one of the things, like, so immediately after watching it, I was like, fuck this. I'm going to watch the original Mist. So I popped the original Mist in, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, I haven't seen that movie probably since 2008, right? When it came out on DVD. Like, when I bought the DVD was when I last time I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Or Blu-ray. I don't remember what I got at that point. But, so I'm watching it. I have a rip. And it's just the fog comes in so quickly.
Oh, yeah.
It's like no one has a chance to do anything.
Yeah.
And that's what's amazing about
it. Yeah, the movie's great.
So quick.
The movie's great.
And then you got Jeffrey, was it Munn? The guy, the old guy from Walking Dead, who's like running in and goes, "There's something in the mist!
Oh, yeah.
There's something in the mist!" And you're like, "Oh, this is great." Just boom,
yes,
goes.
Yes.
And it's got Andre Brower from Brooklyn Nine-Nine in The Wire.
It's
in
it too. High octane. It was a very good movie.
It's not even high octane. It's a slow burn movie, but God, does it keep you going.
The beginning of the movie is fucking crazy, though. There's
with
like
a storm?
There's like shit going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, as soon as the mist rolls in, it's boom, done.
Yeah.
I dug it. I dig that movie so much, and it's like it's so easy to do a TV show based off that.
Yeah, they fucked it up.
Yeah,
that's what the show is not renewed.
10 episodes, $23 million to do 10 episodes, and they fucked it up. Like you could give me and you $23 million, and we'd be like, what do we do
let's
with all this
monsters.
Money?
let's get some monsters.
Steve would just be like, "Let's get to Guillermo del Toro and make us some monsters."
Yes, I would do that. Yeah. That would be step one.
Yeah,
call up Guillermo.
Call up Guillermo. Be like, "Hello, Steve. How are you doing?"
"I'm doing great, Guillermo. Can you make us some monsters?"
Yes, I can.
Thanks, buddy.
And they're all just like hand monsters with like penis wings.
There was some cool stuff, but like overall, it was like, and then there. The weird thing, or the one of the things that was very awkward was the, like, inconsistencies of its own rules.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why did the mist suddenly start melting people? Like, that was really weird. Like, when he was moving his brother through the hall.
Oh, yeah,
his brother's, like, melting. Like, that was really fucking weird.
Yeah, it didn't...
And, like, if the mist was melting him, like, if that's what it was doing to him, why did it then, like, produce leeches?
Like, yeah. Well, and why would it produce like a snake to do this or the four horsemen of the apocalypse? It was like, is this psychological? Is it physical? Like, what the hell's going on?
Right. Well, the one dude, they started to explain it a little bit with the doctor. He's like, you know, something.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, I've been putting people in the mist and like figuring, like seeing what they do. She's like, you know, like the lady was super happy to see her dogs and then they ate her. Like, that, like was that, the show. And that's the biggest crime of that show is. I actually don't think it was terrible. I think it was extraordinarily painfully mediocre. And because the premise is so good, the movie it's based off is so good, and the show itself did have a few, like, sunbeams going through the cloud, like, ooh, that's cool.
Well, yeah, I mean,
moments,
like,
it makes it all the more painful.
Well, I mean, like, one of the great things that I thought was, like, okay, so the show's going to be a rape metaphor, a metaphor for rape survival. I'm like, okay.
I didn't get that from it at all.
What are the hell are you talking about?
I didn't get
it. It is all about victim blaming.
I didn't think there was really
slut shaming.
I didn't really think there was a metaphor if you make it.
Oh, it's
like,
not even a metaphor. It's an allegory. The whole thing is a metaphor.
I mean, I don't think it was a metaphor if that's like literally a plot point, though. It's
no,
like,
oh, no, no. It's an allegory. That's what the entire show is about. It's all about like all of those things that are associated with rape survival. It was like blatant as day, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't watch 10 episodes of this. I mean, I could get it if it was like a subplot that was about it, but like the entire show is about it. But yeah, but I watched the original, which is funny because Thomas Jane, star of the original, is, you know, from The Punisher, and now Punisher's on Netflix. So I've been watching Punisher. Mm. Have you seen that yet?
No.
It's not great. Hey,
I don't know. I don't even have Netflix anymore.
Steve, when you think The Punisher, what do you think of?
Frank Castle shooting the shit out of people.
Yes. What else do you think of?
Frank Castle getting fucked up by like big giant dudes and like having to perform like really gross ass grody surgery on himself in like a fucking warehouse.
Awesome. What else do you think about?
Explosions.
Yeah, exactly. What else?
A really very small rogues gallery because Punisher kills them all.
Oh yeah, like a bunch of like crazy villains and stuff like that.
Jigsaw, Barracuda. Barracuda's cool.
The Russian.
I think he technically fights the Kingpin, but he never kills him. It's like, it's a terrible villain to use against the Punisher, really.
Yeah.
Guns. Lots of guns.
So, how would you like
And what's his face? Not Data.
Micro.
Okay. Micro.
Okay. So, let's take everything that you said except Micro and throw it out.
Man.
That's the Punisher TV show.
Wow.
Everything that you didn't want. I'm like watching. I'm just in a crabby ass mood because a bunch of like pop culture shit has just been shitting all over me. It's been like a diarrhea of pop culture that's just been shitting on me, and I've just been in an angry, shitty mood about
the,
it.
The thing I watched most recently was Zeta Gundam, but it's from the 80s. So yeah, I don't think it counts. Really
count. No, but I mean, I'm watching Punisher, and they're talking. I'm like, there's so much great, like, modern day stuff that they could talk about in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Gun control, vigilantism, right wing politics, you know, all of this stuff. Because technically, Punisher is kind of a right-wing wet dream, you know?
Oh, dude, they're like, if someone's walking around wearing a Punisher shirt, I'm just probably like, you probably voted for Trump.
But I mean, even so, that, like, and that's the funny thing on top of that, too, is that, like, okay, so let's talk about, like, the crazy neo-Nazis in Virginia or wherever, South Carolina. Well, they're probably in Virginia and South Carolina. But even still, like, you have them. Punisher wouldn't be with them. He wouldn't be like the white power and all that stuff. He'd shoot the shit out of them.
Yeah, that is accurate.
Yeah.
But you can project. People project themselves.
Well, exactly.
But just like Dirty Harry. Like, yeah. There's like super, like, well, Dirty Harry's kind of an asshole, but he would still probably shoot them.
Yeah. So you have all this cool stuff that you can explore with this TV show, right? Punisher is not a very deep character, but there's lots of things that are in like the Punisher makeup and
he's violent Batman.
Yeah, he's violent Batman that you can explore and do fun things with. And they're like, hey guys, remember in Afghanistan when they did some like prisoner torture back in 2004? Yeah, in Kandahar. Let's talk about that. And I'm just sitting there going like, fuck this. Punisher has, I watched like 6 whole episodes where Punisher killed 2 people.
That's really bad.
That's fucking terrible. Like, the first episode, I was like, okay, I could see where they're going. This is kind of cool on this stuff. It's like a really piss-poor homeland is what it is. Steve's joking.
Wow, just kind of on some coffee. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's like a poor man's homeland, the TV show with Claire Danes.
I haven't seen that, but...
Or it's a high-end Quantico, which is...
Quantico?
I love Quantico. Quantico is one of those shows that I can always point to as, like, this is a show that dumb people watch to feel smart.
I've never even heard of it.
Like JAG.
Big Bang Theory?
No.
I thought JAG's audience was mostly the elderly.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like Quantico is, too.
I see.
Like, hey, Bernice, we got to sit down. Quantico's on.
JAG's on.
JAG's on. We got to watch NCIS.
I just love the fact that there's a show named JAG.
I know.
Like, I know it's something...
It's an Air Force
it's something
thing.
Attorney General.
Yeah.
It's because it's for the Air Force. It's like Air Force crimes. But like the show's called JAG.
Who knew there were so many crimes in the Air Force that it dedicated like 8 years of episodes to it?
Apparently there are a lot.
Go Kessel. Kessel's cool. Oh, Kessel also had like the young people who were like obsessed with Firefly. And they're like, I got to watch everything Nathan Fillion's in. Apparently he was like a dick on set too.
On Castle,
he seems like such a nice guy. Well,
I don't know. I guess like people are. He might not be nice to work with because every person I know who's met him says he's super nice.
Well, yeah. Well, apparently, like,
so he might just be a dick to work with.
The woman he was working with, Stanya Kadic, something like that. She's a weird ethnic name. Apparently, like they couldn't get along on set. Like they just hated each other.
Okay. Well, I mean that's different. That doesn't mean he's a dick. It just means that they had friction. So, like, you know, they don't like each other.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Which is probably really rough. That's why, like, in the Super Mario Brothers movie, why there's actually so little scenes between...
Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo.
Yep. They liked each other. Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo are totally fine. Like, they totally liked each other.
We're totally fine. Well, Bob Hoskins is dead.
It was Bob Hoskins and Dennis Hopper.
Oh.
Like, they fucking hated each other. That's why there's so little scenes with Mario and Koopa. Like, there's
so
little.
You know how you
get
along with Dennis Hopper back in the 1980s? A giant bag of cocaine.
Yeah. I don't know what it was, but they fought. Like, there's.
Maybe Dennis Hopper.
The two of them, like, going at it was legendary. Like, they were, like they both almost like quit the production, like, in mid-filming, like, because of each other multiple times.
Imagine what that could have saved us.
I love that movie.
The movie is terrible.
I love that movie. It is so funny and fun.
It's not funny.
It's funny, not intentionally. It's funny like Troll is funny, but like the fucking the little Goomba heads when they're dancing in the elevator. that movie, I love that movie. It's so fucking weird.
Remember
and,
they're
like,
all walking around like, and it was such a bad movie.
The dystopian, like, weird ass Mad Max. That's why it's so great, because it's like some weird, like, the people who directed it, like, they thought they were like directing this this magnum opus. You could tell, like, they were just like, we're going to give the Mario Brothers gravitas.
It's actually, there was, I know Super Mario Brothers had a female director, if I'm not.
It was a married couple, if I remember correctly. I'm pretty sure it was a married couple.
Yeah. Annabelle Jankel and Rocky Morton.
Yeah. But no, I like that movie. Yeah. I've always liked that movie. I have a soft spot for it. Now, Double Dragon, that's not a good movie.
You don't like Billy and Jimmy Lee?
Bimmy and Jammy. Bimmy and Jammy.
Where they do like that really cool like high five with the fist.
Yes,
and that.
Yeah. Where it's a simultaneous fist bump and high
a hand five. Yes, it is. No, they don't. No, because the fist goes into the high five.
Right. So it's a fusion. It's putting them together.
It's the greatest. It's the greatest like high greetings since the top gun. Yeah, the over the top miss and slap behind. Where they sing the Boys of Summer.
But yeah, no, flat out, the Mario Brothers movie is not a good movie. I still love it. It's so fun.
I mean,
the music's great.
And to bring it back, it's like the Punisher, the original one with Thomas Jane. It's like
also fun.
It's better than you expect it to be.
Absolutely. Everyone talked about how shitty that movie was. And I was like, I'm going to watch this movie. It'll be bad. And I'm like, this movie's not that bad.
Well, I mean, in hindsight, it's not terrible.
It's a generic 80s action movie.
Yeah, except it was made in 2005.
Sure, but that's what it's just.
You can't
generic
make that. If you look at the movies that came out at that time, it was like Iron Man, The Dark Knight. It's sure. Like you're like, oh, that's why that
was
movie
was it really that old or new? I thought it was way older. I thought it came out in like the 90s.
No,
I mean, still a totally solid 80s action movie. Whether or not it came out in 2005 or not.
2004.
Okay. And, yeah. Still a totally solid action movie.
Yeah.
Wait, is that The Punisher with Thomas Jane, though?
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking about The Punisher with Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, the one with Dolph Lundgren is terrible. It's not even good on an 80s standard.
Oh, no, that movie was solid. Solid 80s.
No, because like...
Thomas Jane Punisher is like... good and terrible at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
The Russian fight scene's great.
Well, and there's... I have
him dragging John Travolta around the parking lot.
I'm sorry
great.
To people who listen to Comic Book Logic, because I also go into this on that podcast. But, I mean, one of the things that you don't do with Frank Castle is you don't explain his background is, like, there's some... Like, he was the reason his family was killed. Like, they do that in a lot of the Punisher stuff. Like... Oh, the reason why your family was killed is because
his family was killed in Crossfire.
Yeah, his family—it's a—it's a brutal accident, and it has absolutely nothing to do with him.
Right, it broke him because it was fucking. It had nothing to do. Like they were just bystanders.
Bystanders, exactly. It's a random act of violence, and he gets caught up in it, and that's why he can't stop. Like he has no motivation to stop killing because it doesn't matter if he kills the
people
that
killed. There's
no revenge.
It's just you kill everyone.
Exactly. So like. When they do that in the TV show, I'm like, ah, these people have never read a fucking comic book in their life.
The best is in the movie with Thomas Jane. It was like, not only do they kill his like immediate family,
oh, they kill everyone
he's related to at like some fucking party.
You know, it's like Roy Scheider's his dad, and he's like, how you doing there, son?
And it's John Travolta's like machinations, like,
oh, man. It's like we're gonna kill this guy, Frank Castle's entire family's after
he's got
us.
The Russian scene is great, and when he's dragging John Travolta through the parking lot on fire, also great.
Yeah, that's pretty good at the
like,
end.
Those are the two good parts
and you're
of the
like,
movie.
And you're like, the fire's going to make the Punisher symbol. And it does.
That was a trope in the early 2000s with Daredevil making the giant double D's.
With Joey Pants. Joey Pants. That movie's not as bad either.
The fucking Electric Nachos fight scene with him in the park is pretty bad.
That's terrible.
It's pretty bad.
Affleck was a pretty decent Daredevil. I'm not going to argue that.
I think there's just like there's a level of like really terrible. Like it's a hard thing to make a truly terrible film. Like an I cannot sit through this movie is pretty hard. Like that's like Catwoman.
Yeah, Catwoman is terrible.
I can't
Judge Dredd was that bad.
Judge Dredd was funny though. Like
no, Judge Dredd had no
fucking
humor.
Rob Schneider.
Yeah, but he wasn't funny.
It was a thinly disguised Rob Schneider vehicle.
Well, yeah.
Dredd, you gotta help me out. I haven't seen Judge Dredd since it came out when I was a kid, but I remember
I watched it earlier this year for Comic Book Logic, and it is fucking terrible.
I remember it did give us several really good quotes, like I am there.
That's not even a good quote. That's
great. You gotta do Stallone voice and just say Judge Dredd shit. Yes, it's obviously not not a good Judge Dredd movie.
It's not a good movie.
I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I liked it as a kid.
Well, yeah. I mean, even as a kid, though,
it wasn't good Judge Dredd, because I used to read a lot of Judge Dredd. Like, I was super into Judge Dredd at the time the movie came out, so I was like, yeah! And after I watched it, I was like, that really wasn't like Judge Dredd at all.
Are you enjoying the fact that America's slowly becoming Mega City 1?
Finally. We just gotta get those street judges.
Yeah. Well, that's what the right wing wants in America, is street judges. It is a right wing dream.
I mean, technically, don't the police already act like street judges? Topical humor.
Are we right, America? Yeah. Do we have actually any gaming news to talk about? We had Necromunda
I played Shadespire.
Yeah.
I played Shadespire.
It's a fun game.
It's a really fun game.
It's not a great game. It does not feel Warhammer-y at all.
I mean, that's fine. It's a board game. It's a competitive board game, which it definitely feels like.
Yeah.
Well, competitive card game is really more like it.
Yeah, there's some.
It's like cards and dice.
You know what it kind of feels like to me? You remember, you played Spartacus, right? The combat mechanic in Spartacus?
I have not played Spartacus, but I've observed people playing Spartacus.
It's a lot like the combat mechanic in Spartacus. Very similar.
Yeah. I really like it. I think as more and more warbands come out, the game will just get better and better and better. I think the cards right now are a little uneven. There's some cards that are like, wow, this card's great, and other cards are like, ugh.
How are the... So I had a thing on this, and you actually have the undead and the orcs.
Mm-hmm.
Orcs. So they're generic cards that they have, that they come with.
Mm-hmm.
Are they different than the generic cards that come with? Okay. Are they better or worse, or like, are they a must have?
You could use, like, I think there are some cards from the base set that are very good for both skeletons and orcs and other way around. I think if you're going to play Shadespire and you want to play competitively,
you have to buy every
warband.
You have
to buy everything.
Yeah.
You have to get everything. You have to treat it like it's a living card game. Like,
okay.
From any of those, like, you
see,
have to.
No, I think that's important, and I don't think that the people are being told that.
Yeah, like, you need everything if you want to be competitive.
So for the first time ever in the history of our podcast, we're actually giving people some good gaming advice.
If you want to be competitive, you need to buy every warband. Like, that's just the way, you need to buy everything for it. That's just the nature of the beast, because it's card based.
Yeah, I mean, you get some pretty sweet figures.
Right, the figures are awesome, and the warbands all play differently. Like, they do a really good job of like capturing a different feel for every warband. Like, the Stormcast felt like Stormcast; they were fucking slow and tough as shit. And then the Khorne boys felt like Khorne boys; they were really fast and aggressive. And of course they were squelched like wet paper because they're just wearing pants.
Yeah, I mean, the Khorne guys against Stormcast, it's like you either have to team up three versus a Stormcast, or you get smatted.
Yeah, or you have a whole bunch of blessings of Khorne on a guy who then becomes great.
Great, yeah.
Which, it's very, I thought it was very flavorful.
I don't know. It's like, it has a decent,
like, to me, it felt very flavorful. Like, it was like, the Stormcast are, like, individually super strong. They're, like, already great, and their ability to level up is simple. They're just like, whoop, I defended, whoop, like, I defended with a critical, flip. And then Khorne felt very much like, they're aggressive, but they're not, like, super great until they start getting, like, blessings of the Blood God, and until start models dying. Like, models dying is, like, gets the ball rolling for Khorne.
Because, you have to wait till, Khorne doesn't get good till turn two, and even
it's like your model's dying and your opponent's model's dying are good for you.
Yes.
which is, I thought that was very like, mwah.
Yeah. I mean, as a game, and I think I've said this on the podcast before, it's a great game.
It doesn't feel like Warhammer.
No, it does not feel like Warhammer at all.
That would be in, like, if they managed to make a small, like, couple figure game feel like Warhammer, that would be amazing. I don't think that's a thing that you could do.
What about Mordheim?
Yeah, but Mordheim's a skirmish miniatures game. Shadespire is not really a miniatures game. It's a board game.
Well, yeah, it's a board game.
So,
I mean,
like, it's really hard to get, like, you know, it doesn't have the stat line.
There's a stat line.
But it's not the stat line.
Yeah, no, it's not the...
It's not the stat line.
Well, I mean, the stat line has changed for Age of Sigmar.
Still, it's not that stat line either.
Yeah.
You know, there's no parts of, like, the standard Warhammer, which I think Shadespire is improved for. Like, I think Mordheim was held back a little bit by the fact that you used the standard stat line.
No, Mordheim was held back by the fact that you were using D6, which is terrible for a skirmish game.
Yeah, it should have been D10s.
Or D3.
I don't think any game uses D3.
I know, but D3 is really quick and simple.
Well, that's... Actually, Shadespire
uses
D3.
Yeah. It actually makes a lot of sense that way. But yeah, the Shadespire, it's not... I'm interested in seeing where it's going, because now you got Skaven coming out. That could be interesting.
I can say that the game is very popular. There's a lot of people getting into it, and people who don't do miniatures games are getting into it. So.
It's a hit for GW right now.
Yeah,
so.
Which is good.
I know Fire Slayers are coming out soon.
Yeah, they should be really good. They're one of the best armies in Age of Sigmar too. So I wonder how good their unit is going to be. Because that's the other thing. That's like the other like double bonus is every warband is a like Dogs of War style Regiment of Renown.
Fucking awesome.
For Age of Sigmar.
I was really wondering how they were going to do that. And a lot of people were speculating like, oh, it's going to be like each person's going to have like an individual character or something like that. Nope. It's like
Regiments of Renown.
You want to take them for your Stormcast army? It's a 3-man team.
It's Steelheart's team.
Yeah. It's 100 points and it's okay. If you got an extra 100 points to spend somewhere. Right.
I think the orc one is going to be used heavily because if you're playing Iron Jaws, most of their choices are 180 points.
And
with Iron Jaws, Warband is 60 points. So I think there's going to be a lot of lists that like are easily like, oh, I only have 60 points left. Yoink. Just like slide those in there.
Yeah.
So that should be pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
And the skeleton models are amazing.
Yeah.
They're super fucking good.
Yeah.
I think they might be they're definitely the best undead that GW has made. They're obviously, there's shades of Rackham in them.
Shades of Rackham? What are you talking about? That's pure Rackham.
Well, they aren't as chunky as the Rackham skeletons were.
Well, the Rackham skeletons were a little bit bigger than that.
And they had like beefier
armor.
They're
so French, they're singing the Marseillaise as they're walking around.
They don't have the. They don't have the. When Tim lost to the French in painting when he came back, I played that for him.
I was there that day.
Were you?
Oh,
okay, good. Good.
I should convert them up to be like wearing French colors.
Nice.
Like, and like instead of spears, they're carrying like big French flags.
Baguettes.
Oh.
Get little wheels of cheese for their base.
I don't know. You have to have like a stinky cheese for French.
Well, yeah, just get a wheel of like Limburger or something.
Well, Limburger is that's British and
whatever.
Yeah, you have to get like a
What stinky cheese do fucking French people eat?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I know I'm not like up to date on my French. I know like my Italian cheeses. I know my British cheeses. I just the blue. A blue I know is I think Danish or something like that, but whatever. Or whatever. Our
Brie. What about Brie? Brie's French. Isn't
Brie
French?
Brie isn't stinky.
It can be.
It can be.
So just give him wheels of Brie.
Okay.
Give him Brie and baguettes.
Yeah.
That's good enough.
It's good enough. I love blue cheese. I can eat blue cheese like nobody's business.
I haven't had
it. Makes my stomach hurt so bad, but I love
it. Blue cheese in a really long time.
Oh, it's so good.
I like blue cheese. I got nothing against it. Just I haven't had it in a really long time.
I love the stronger the cheese, the better. That's kind of what I have.
I had Limburger not too long ago, and it was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, people give Limburger a lot of shit.
Well, everyone was saying, like, I heard, oh, this Limburger smells so bad. And it barely smells.
Well, it smells like blue cheese is what it smells
like. But, it's like supposed to be this super, like, rancid-smelling cheese. And I was like, it barely smells.
It doesn't smell rancid. You got to get that, was it Casamassu? That they have
is it
Italy,
the maggot cheese?
The maggot cheese.
I'll pass on that one, thanks.
You're not going to eat the maggot cheese? It's pure protein, man.
I'll pass on the maggot
cheese. Pure protein.
Pure protein and, I believe, also banned by health authorities. So,
well, I think it should be banned by health authorities,
I'm
going to
pass.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Eating insects is okay, and eating cheese is okay. But if there is something that combines those two things and health authorities are like, you can't eat this, I'm going to pass.
Oh.
Because that means there's something very specific about that.
To me, it's like, I think that you could make it in a very controlled environment to be like, and it would be amazing. However, it's like, the whole thing is that the maggots eat the cheese and excrete the cheese. And that's, you know, what supposedly gives it its unique flavor, which is fine. We do lots of stuff works like that. Stuff that we can't afford because it's very expensive. But. Where are the flies coming from? That's the thing. Like, are they coming just from flying outside? Because if they're flying outside and they got some poop on their finger, on their little feelies, and they're landing on my cheese, I don't want that.
Yeah.
You know, but if they're in, like, a controlled environment where it's, like, the maggots are put onto the cheese and things like that, I'm okay. Like, let's do that.
Yeah, it seems that's a little, like, and I wouldn't shy away from trying bugs. Like, I've eaten bugs before, but, like.
And also, the reason why it's banned, too, is because the maggots jump. and they'll jump onto like in your eyes and shit while you're trying to eat it.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
I know. Those Italians, man, they're nutty.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, why is
traditional food, like super traditional food, always horrible? Why? Is this because it came from the dirt poor lands?
It came from the dirt poor people. Like, you got to think about it. So Middle Ages, all of the rich people, all they just eat is just meat. So it's like...
And bread.
Well, yeah, meat and, well, I mean...
Those giant loaves of bread.
Trenchers, because yeah. Those were the plates. So they would be like, what am I eating today? A slab of beef. Okay. Or what are you eating today? A big thing of fish. So roasted fish. Okay, that's good. And some vegetables. Well, you know, maybe not too much, but some vegetables. That's fine. The poor people had to make by with the worst of the worst shit. So eventually they would come up with like better ways of eating it. So it's still disgusting as shit, but they've actually come up with better ways of making it taste. So the problem is that now in modern day, we have money, like infinitely more money than my great-grandfather would have. My great-grandfather would think that I am like Uncle Moneybags. Or Scrooge McDuck in comparison to him. He's excited that I have indoor toilets. But he, you know, so we take the food that he made and we try to make it our way, and it tastes terrible because we don't have that drive to make it taste better because we're not poor, you know?
Yeah, I just wouldn't eat it. I think I'll stick with the McRib.
Stick with the McRib. It only happens when pork prices are down, and they've been up lately, sir.
Well, the McRib is out right now.
Is it really?
It is.
Pork prices are down.
You should go get should go get yourself a McRib.
The McRib only comes out when pork bellies are down.
Yeah, there's like a pricing thing. I like to think of it
as the McIndex.
I like to think of it as whatever creature they make the McRib out of, they have to like breed and get a stock up. And then they slaughter it, make the McRib, but they can't keep going. They can't make the McRib year round because then they would drive the creature to extinction. So they have to wait.
They
have to wait for the population.
For the breeding?
Yeah, they have to wait for the population to go back up.
Yeah.
That's the real story.
I like this theory. That goes into my next question for you. Steve, do you believe in the Mothman?
No.
Have you seen this?
Yes. There are people who are legitimately like, the Mothman is over Chicago.
I did a deep dive into it on Thursday because I had report card pickup and no one ever comes to my office on report card pickup. So it's literally a 7-hour day where I sit in my office and do absolutely nothing.
Well, it sounds like you were doing something.
I was deep diving the Mothman. So yeah, a bunch of crazy people in Chicago have seen the Mothman. And for those who are unaware, the Mothman is a cryptid of the United States variety. It is a bipedal creature with large eyes and wings.
Yeah. It's a human-esque body with a moth head and moth wings.
Yes.
That's the Mothman.
In the Richard Gere movie, the Mothman Prophecies. Starring Richard Gere and Deborah Messing.
Yeah. Yes, unlike most cryptids, the Mothman, his appearance...
foretells doom,
yes,
Steve.
Signals doom.
No, foretells doom. There was a bridge collapse or something in New Jersey. But yeah.
And you moited him.
You know what the experts are thinking that the Mothman is? Are sandhill cranes.
Oh, because they're just huge-ass fucking birds?
Fucking gigantic birds.
I can see that.
I've probably told a story on the podcast about them standing outside my house and be going like to people, just like random neighbors going like, you see these giant birds?
Look at that fucking thing.
Look at the fucking thing. It's huge. And now to most people out in the country burbs, like, because I live right next to prairie land, most people out there are like, yeah, them are sandhill cranes. You don't want to mess with them. They're nasty. And I'm a city boy who grew up and the biggest birds were pigeons. I'm cool, like, this is a bird. Big bird.
Bird.
Big bird. Big bird, bite me.
Big bird, bite hand.
Bite hand. Because I'm an idiot when it comes to a lot of these animals. Like, people are always like, how come you don't have a dog? And I'm like, there's coyotes out here. Why would I want to have a dog that has coyotes out here? It's like, Joe, the coyotes are all over the place out here. I go, I come from a place with no coyotes, okay?
We had a coyote out behind our apartment once. We opened up the back door and just like coyotes like looks up and it's like, huh, all right. What's up, buddy?
We get skunks and raccoons and possums.
Oh, sure. There's all sorts of critters.
All that fun stuff.
We saw a muskrat the other day. It was
Ooh.
Awesome. He was so cute. His fucking fat little butt was running along the drainage ditch.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the...
yay, muskrat.
I saw a beaver once.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was like, it's a beaver.
Yeah, there's beavers around here.
Yeah. You know what else they found out here? Alligator snapping turtles have returned to Illinois.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Not the regular snapping turtles. Those big-ass alligator snapping turtles.
That's good.
Yeah. Worst animals ever.
They're definitely ornery.
Yeah. Why the hell would we want those in Illinois?
I don't know. They eat things.
Yeah. They're...
They're predators.
Yeah.
They're not... Like, they're only aggressive if you fuck with them. And, like, if you get
and
bit
you
by...
And you step on them.
Right. If you get bit by an alligator snapping turtle, you're probably doing something you shouldn't.
You probably just stepped on him accidentally.
Yeah, but why are you stepping on an alligator snapping turtle?
Well, it's true. You should not be in any sort of water that's outside of a pool.
Right.
Anywhere.
And...
Anytime.
And alligator snapping turtles love brackish water. So, like... You shouldn't be in the water that they're in.
You should, like, that's what we should do to combat the Asian carp that we got out here. Get some alligator snapping turtles in the river.
They would
take care of it.
They would eat them.
Yeah. Yeah. We for our foreign listeners, this has been Illinois Wildlife Hour.
Flora and fauna of Illinois.
Flora and fauna of Illinois. The alligator snapping turtle, which is the closest that we have to Australian fauna.
We've got some fun critters around here.
I mean, we're just prairies, grassland animals.
Well, but the nice thing is because we have such bitter...
We don't have moose.
Because we have such bitter winters, where we are in Illinois, there's nothing poisonous.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing poisonous here. All of the things that are poisonous just die.
Well, we had those recluse spiders.
That's like anecdotal. You would not consider our area a habitat for them.
Yeah.
It's just like their range can they can come here, but they would not be considered a native.
I saw a 12-point venomous moose up here.
Oh, hey there.
Oh, yeah.
And the recluse would be closer. Like, that's it. It's our area of Illinois. Because if you go down south where it stays a little bit warmer, you can get some nastier guys.
Yeah, it don't matter. Illinois is not really known for anything too dangerous animal wise.
Yeah, the most dangerous
except for Asian carp. Asian carp. They'll eat the shit out of you.
Yeah, the realistic most dangerous thing you're gonna run into in Illinois is being attacked by Canada goose.
It's true. That's absolutely true. Yeah, the worst import we've ever gotten from Canada is the Canada goose.
I think they're funny. I like their fat little butts.
I fucking hate geese. They're the worst. They're the worst animal ever, and they're terrible to eat. There's that's another peasant, rich person food that like is weird and can't be cooked properly.
I would never eat goose.
It's greasy and really hard to cook from everything I've been told about it.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
I remember the Canada geese were like,
bring me the plumpest goose in the window.
When I was in fucking elementary school, I remember I would open up my jacket and just like run after the geese with my jacket open. They never came back at me.
Yeah.
But they did. They came after something.
Now, when you're older, you realize how stupid that was because one could have turned around.
But I realized I was like, you know, I would have learned a valuable lesson if one of those geese turned around, but they never did.
Absolutely. Yeah, I did the Mothman deep dive and took me to a lot of other cryptid stuff.
My favorite cryptid is the Chinese giant worm. It's like a giant
The Mongolian bloodworm?
Yeah, that shoots electricity.
Yes, Mongolian bloodworm.
That's probably my favorite cryptid, I think. It's like, it's got an electric attack. It's a Pokemon. Yeah. It's a fucking Pokemon.
It's the giant sandworm from Beetlejuice.
With electric attacks. Yeah, it's a Pokemon.
You been to Saturn? I hate sandworms. Sandworms. Yeah, they're fucking terrifying. But the Bigfoot. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
No.
You don't believe in Bigfoot?
No.
I believe in Bigfoot.
Why?
Because I want to believe that Bigfoot exists.
There's no fucking way.
You don't think that Bigfoot exists?
Not a chance.
In the Pacific Northwest, there's lots of the Pacific Northwest that's never
been
explored.
I think there might be some weird-ass hairy guy who someone saw and thought was Bigfoot.
Is it Cliff? Is Cliff up in the Pacific Northwest?
It was probably Cliff.
Cliff is bald, so it might not be Cliff.
Maybe he was wearing a merkin.
Maybe it's Dave. Maybe it's Dave Max. He's walking around the Pacific Northwest.
It could be. He could be wearing wigs.
He could be. Well, Dave's not bald.
No, I said Cliff.
Oh, Cliff. Cliff is wearing a big long wig, and that's why people think wandering naked in the Pacific Northwest.
It's just a hat to keep warm.
Okay.
But it looks like a...
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So when people see it, then I was like, it's a Bigfoot.
No.
It's a Sasquatch.
I want to believe that the Sasquatch is real. I mean,
No chance.
Oh, come on. Not even the Australian Yowie.
If there was a
Yeti in Tibet?
If there was a missing link that was still around that had the capacity to have a population large enough to be observed and was a creature of that size...
it would be discovered. You'd find it. The only time that the only animals that like scientists and explorers like discover, like rediscover or like find, they're always either in extremely isolated areas.
Well, that's the Pacific Northwest is extremely isolated.
People live there.
I know, but
if people live there, it's not isolated. It's like they find them in areas that are, do not have human population or are.
Have you seen Canada? Like 90% of the Canadian population lives within like 30 miles of the U.S. border. And Canada's the second largest country in the world.
Wasn't Bigfoot spotted in like the fucking like Oklahoma or some shit too?
Yeah, but I mean, you don't necessarily have to count every sighting as real Bigfoot sightings.
Not a chance.
It would have been.
I
know the
and you know what? If it was seen in America, someone would have fucking shot it.
Well, that's true too. Like that's why it's in Canada.
They would have a corpse. Canadians have rifles. They hunt.
Yeah, but not as much as the U.S.
They would have. They probably would have shot it. And be like, that was a big moose. Oh, you know what? If a Canadian person shot it, they probably would have just eaten it
or apologized.
Good call.
Oh, I'm sorry there, sir. I didn't see you over there. Oh. Next time, make sure you wear your orange. That way I can tell.
What
you're
a
not
hairy
to be
fella you are. Let me get you a doctor.
We have free health. That's why no Canadian Bigfoots have died. They have universal health care.
They
up
just
there.
Go and they get their bullets taken out and they
everywhere
get
else
released.
In the world, universal health care for Bigfoots. And America is the only place where Bigfoot has to remain hidden because it can't afford the U.S. health care.
This all checks out.
This all checks out.
I take it back. Bigfoot's definitely real. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Bigfoot's all around the world.
The Yeti.
I love Bigfoot. I truly believe.
But you know what else is all around the world? Large furry animals.
Yeah.
Like I think
there's a lowland gorilla up in Canada?
No, it's probably a bear.
It's a bear?
Yeah, bears like
big bear. Big bald bear.
Have you ever seen like when bears are distressed or like if they have like something wrong with them, they'll walk on their hind legs a lot.
Yeah.
Like there's that one bear that was really sick that was in not Florida. It was like,
well, it would be sick if it was in Florida.
It wasn't in Florida. It was in it was somewhere like more southern, but like it was walking through a neighborhood with its arms up and just walking behind people's houses and shit. Like I think that from a distance very easily could be like, holy shit, it's fucking Bigfoot.
Yeah. Nah.
That's the most likely scenario. It was probably a bear.
Or is it a woolly mammoth?
A woolly mammoth. I think the woolly mammoth is coming back. I think they successfully are they gonna
breed a woolly mammoth?
Well, I think they successfully isolated its DNA and they're theorizing that they can impregnate a normal elephant with a woolly mammoth embryo and bring the woolly mammoth back. But like why? Like I don't know why you would
spent
do that.
So much time thinking how you could, but you didn't think is why.
Yeah, it's not if you should
slap
it
on a lunchbox.
Yeah, it's not literally. It's literally not if you could and should. It's why. Like, what would be the purpose of bringing the woolly mammoth back?
Because life finds a way, Steve.
But
bum, 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 bum,
but it didn't. It went extinct. Da, da. Life found a way to get rid of the woolly mammoth. I don't get it. Like
no, well they there's a there's
I think it's like it's one of those things where you're just like yeah we cloned a woolly mammoth.
Well, it's one of those things like in the Kamchatka Peninsula, which people only know from Risk, in Russia, there's supposedly living woolly mammoths that are still out there in the wilderness because there's no one who lives out there.
I mean that's believable.
Well, I mean because there was hypothetically woolly mammoths still. Well, not hypothetically, there were. Well, this all depends on if you believe the pyramids were not built by aliens. But the woolly mammoths
which
were alive.
Unfortunately, a lot of people believe they were built.
Woolly
by
mammoths
aliens.
Were alive in Siberia at the time that the pyramids were being built. And they just found out that Neanderthals were still, or Neanderthals, as they say in Europe, were around the same time in the Iberian Peninsula, 3,000 years later than they thought, or earlier.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Homo sapiens were fucking them until we murdered them all.
Yeah, murder fuck.
Yeah, that's legit what happened, in case anyone's wondering. Neanderthals don't exist because we murdered them.
No, they also died out.
We killed the shit out of them.
That's what the is
we,
that
we killed.
Is that
the shit
according
out of
to your paleontological archaeological
the,
research?
That's the official scientific stance, and I believe the official scientific verbiage is Homo sapiens killed the shit out of Neanderthals.
Ah, okay. No, wait. There's a in the Iberian Peninsula. there's a they you have a higher if you come from the Iberian Peninsula, if your DNA comes from the Iberian Peninsula, you have a higher percentage chance of having Neanderthal DNA.
Yeah, there was crossbreeding, and they they actually found that horrible racist tendencies are an old tradition, because there was a somewhat recent archaeological find of a Neanderthal human couple, Homo sapien couple, and their children, and they were all murdered.
Yeah. Perfect.
So there you go.
Did they have sex with them, then murder them?
Well, I don't think they could determine that, but they definitely were all murdered.
I don't know. I've been watching Mindhunter. They can determine a lot nowadays.
Mindhunter.
He hunts minds.
I saw a an advertisement for that, and it looked really dumb.
It's not bad. It's Fincher. So, I mean, he's producing it. So it's shot incredibly well. It's kind of boring. I mean, it's not boring to say the word, like, it's like, oh my God, but it's slow, and it's a lot of like in the mind of a serial killer. So what they do is,
well, yeah, because it's mind hunter.
He's hunting minds. Oh no, who's mind hunter gonna hunt today?
It's the dumbest.
My wife hates it when I say that.
Who's mind hunter gonna hunt today?
Yeah. She also hates my obsession with Bigfoot. She thinks it's the dumbest thing in the world. My wife is the biggest atheist on the planet. Like. Hardcore, like, she puts, like, Christopher Hitchens to shame.
That's
like,
good.
When it comes to her atheism.
Your wife sounds smart.
So, like, well, you know how, like an atheist will be like, we'll try and debate? My wife would just be like, no, you're an idiot.
Yeah, that's the proper stance to have.
And she won't.
Debating is pointless.
She won't debate with anybody about it.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
But she's so atheist, like, and it comes to anything. Oh. It's like, like. She is a Bigfoot atheist. Like, she just
a Bayfeist?
She won't even acknowledge the idea that Bigfoot could exist. That's how much of an atheist is.
No, there's no way. There's clearly. I believe all of these like cryptid sightings and stuff. I 100% believe that the people who report these things did. If they weren't specifically trying to make money, like the dude who made the Bigfoot feet,
or like, the Gimli Patterson footage,
right? If they weren't specifically trying to scam. Which I'm there are plenty of who are, yeah. But usually they have a ulterior motive, like,
yeah,
they're trying
to
make money,
like the Bigfoot hunters on whatever cable shows. Yeah.
I believe people saw something, and I think there's a lot of things that you can see that are really confusing, and like your brain needs to fill in the gaps. So you're just like, oh, I don't know what the fuck it was a giant walking dude, and someone's like, oh, it must be a Bigfoot, and like the snakehead fish. You ever heard of the snakehead fish? There was one I think not too long ago. On film, and someone got it walking out of.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that is fucking terrifying. Yeah. If you don't know what that is, you're just like, this fish has fucking legs. What is happening? And they look like monsters. Like that would be fucking terrifying, yeah, for someone who did not have any idea what it was. That would become a cryptid.
Yeah.
Easily. You'd be like, yeah, it's a fish with fucking legs.
It's a worm that shoots electricity.
Right. And then the story grows and changes and morphs. And then, well, and then suddenly, like, relatively, like, medium-sized fish that can walk on land becomes a large, aggressive amphibious predator.
So Nessie is not a real to you either.
No. Of course not.
What kind of sad world do you live in where you don't want to acknowledge
Nessie's not real?
The Loch Ness monster.
They did radio wave searches of that lake from the end, one end to the other, and there's nothing in that lake. Nessie.
That's just sad.
There's absolutely no possible way any creature of that size would be able to sustain itself with anything growing or living in that lake. Impossible. And unseen for decades. Like, no way.
I believe in the Loch Ness monster.
The only and if like
what about Champion, Lake Champlain?
Champy?
Yeah.
I've never heard of Champy.
Or what about the what's that one in Africa called? Makili Membo.
I've never heard of that one either. But the only plausible explanation for Nessie is there's an interdimensional rift, and a giant creature came out of said rift, was observed, and then was reabsorbed into the rift.
That'd be amazing.
That's the only explanation.
I like this theory. Or what that Bigfoot is? What about that Bigfoot is an alien? He's one of the three alien species that visits Earth.
That also. Also, a viable explanation, because to make these cryptids in any sort of way viable, they have to not be a natural occurrence. So you have to be like they're ghosts. They have to be that level.
What if Bigfoot has a genetic adaptation, so it can fade in and out like the Predator?
Oh, like a chameleon, like super chameleon?
No, not like a super chameleon, but he has like a predator cloaking
field. Oh, like
field.
An actual, like he disappears?
Yeah, like da-da-da-da-da-da.
I don't think that's physically possible.
We don't know, because we can't see him. So how can we tell?
I don't think, like physics. I don't think that you could
physics.
I don't think you could generate
physics.
I don't think you could organically generate that. I don't know. Because I mean, there's some crazy shit out there. Like seeing how an octopus can change its skin, like
yeah,
like into like textures, like. I don't think that kind of
there could be a Bigfoot in this apartment right now and we'd have no idea.
I don't think that level of camouflage is possible. I think you could get close. I think if you had something that had like a lot of properties of like an octopus and a chameleon, you could probably get to the point where like it appears invisible, but an actual like shimmering, like somewhat reflective cloak, I don't think that's biologically possible.
What about cryptoarchaeology?
What's cryptoarchaeology?
It's like archaeology that's kind of like fringe, like people who think that the pyramids were built by aliens. Not necessarily that, but like,
oh, that's awful.
The pyramids are like, or the Sphinx is 10,000 years older than it actually appears to be, because there's like marks on its body that look like it was from running water. Running water didn't exist.
You can carbon date it.
You can't carbon date rock.
Sure, you can.
Well, maybe, but there's the Bosnian pyramids. You ever hear about that one?
No.
So a bunch of people
about to get upset.
Oh yeah, maybe not, but a bunch of people in like Bosnia and Serbia and stuff like that believe that during the Ice Age there was a big like warm spot in the former Yugoslav, you know, on there
Yugoslavia,
yeah, where people built a shit ton of pyramids, like the Pyramid of the Sun and the Pyramid of the Moon, and like there's like some ancient culture that grew up in the Balkans, They found a bunch of mountains that have these blocks that some people are like, no, those are naturally occurring. Other people are like, no, they are built, they are chipped out, and this is the Pyramid of the Moon. And that's cryptoarchaeology, because it's archaeology that like certain people like, this is true. A lot of people say it's like, it's nationalistic, you know.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Not that specific story, but the fact that cryptoarchaeology thing is horrible.
Well, a lot of stuff like out of place objects, they call them oops. The Baghdad battery, the one that you've probably seen, this one, it's like on the pyramid, it's like hieroglyphic and it looks like a big light bulb.
Mm.
And they think it's like, oh, that's the Egyptian had control of light, or the Baghdad battery, which is like a used for electroplating. It was like they had use of electricity.
Yeah, no, there's such a huge disconnect because there's so many thousands of years between us and them. Everything we're doing is guessing. Everything. So, like, looking... And you're up... Well, other than, like, having an actual physical object...
Well, there's guessing, and then there's, like, we have all of these real... No, there's guessing, and then there's, like, this... We have all of this evidence here. We don't have anything, like, super, like, that says exactly this, but enough of this stuff aligns right. That this kind of shows us exactly what kind of happened here.
But in the case of, say, a light bulb...
Yeah.
That's you taking what you know and projecting it thousands
what
of years
about
behind.
The Incan carvings that show the Incan guy flying a spaceship? I've seen enough History Channel documentaries.
I think that was Hindu.
No, there's both.
There's the flying Hindu spaceships.
There's the flying Hindu spaceships with the blue faced gods or the blue skinned gods, and then you actually have in the Aztecs you have the dude totally flying a pyramid like a spaceship. I went to the Roswell UFO Museum. And I saw a replica, a perfect replica of this sculpture. And I'll tell you, it looks like he's flying a spaceship, Steve.
I think there are if I were to go and give this
I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens.
If I were to give this actual like merit, I would say the explanations are as follows. One, it's just something that someone made up there. They were just like, oh, I'm going to do this. Oh. Like how Da Vinci envisioned a helicopter. Many, many years before that was a viable thing.
Hey, so, it's so, a helicopter.
So that's one. Two, it was something that someone was doing, but we're extrapolating like, oh, it's a fucking spaceship, when it was actually like him like making some weird ass fucking glider out of rocks and fucking feathers and then falling to his death. Like, you know, yeah. that's how
I always
that's how that would be explained.
I like to think that the Italians were all these Renaissance people until the invention of cigarettes, and then they just became really lazy.
Yeah,
all right. Smoked all
that's
the
fair
time.
Enough. That was and their long flowing robes just became like white t-shirts and jeans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's American Italians. These are the Italian Italians. They wear very stylish clothes, but they just smoke all the time.
Very good.
That's what I told Pat, like, because Pat was going to Europe. I'm like, watch out for all the smoking. And then he texts me. He's like, you're right. They smoke here like it's their job.
And the pickpocketing.
And the pickpocketing.
The thing that bothers me, like actually like legit bothers me about cryptids and all that, like all that shit, is like the world is already so diverse and so weird and so interesting and has so much shit to like explore. Like the fact that people dedicate themselves to just made up bullshit is really frustrating.
I don't think that the Bigfoot's made up.
It's like, why don't you get it? Like you wanna
some of us truly believe, Steve.
You wanna have weird ass fucking experiences of like bizarre shit? Go to like the deep sea. Like make that your passion. Become a deep sea researcher. Like there's creatures down there that glow. Have you seen a devil squid? Like there's aliens on our planet.
Nah, you go down to the deep sea and it's just like there's a fish. There's a fish.
Yeah, it's not there's cool at all that they like glow or like that there's fish that shoot bioluminescent like
that's
mist.
If you happen to see them, I mean, like you go to the deep sea, you could see like maybe like 5 feet
well,
you in front of
you.
You
can't go there.
I know. Well, exactly. I mean, even a submarine.
I'm saying, get into it. Like get into that research. Like instead, you're sitting fucking with your yarn and your fucking thumbtacks.
Now you're talking about
you see, it was John F. Kennedy who knew about the Bigfoot, and he was going to reveal to the public. That was the big reveal he had. But he told Hillary.
No, he told Hillary. And Hillary sold uranium one to Bigfoot.
He told Hillary, and she used the knowledge to assassinate JFK and travel to the future to attempt her presidential bid.
But she was stopped by Donald Trump.
She was stopped by a reptilian who decided to use Donald Trump against her. Yeah.
No, no one believes that Donald Trump's a reptilian.
No. Reptile. I said a reptilian who used Donald Trump.
So Paul Ryan is what you're saying.
Right.
Paul Ryan is one of the reptilians.
Yeah. Well, obviously, so is Mitch McConnell. He's like, his disguise is terrible, too, because he looks like a turtle.
So that
annoys me. It's like, if you're interested in like giant monsters, fucking get into dinosaurs. There were gigantic, horrifying monsters on this planet.
We want to find giant monsters that are still alive.
There aren't any. There's the blue whale.
They've been killed by pollution and man.
There's the blue whale. That's you got. And also our changing atmosphere. You know, you can't have giant insects because there isn't enough
oxygen in the air.
Yeah, you need a shit ton for those big giant guys.
The big giant millipedes.
But as a side effect of global warming, there is more oxygen getting pumped in the air, so things might eventually come back and humanity might not go extinct before we see giant insects again.
Ooh.
So there's something to look forward to.
We could all enjoy a nice roast cockroach.
Or those fucking, you see those giant fucking scorpion things? From the Mesozoic era or some shit? They're like huge-ass fucking scorpions. Maybe we can get those going.
We could ride them.
Yes! Scorpion jousting. We'd look like Tusken Raiders because the sun is so hot. We're just riding on scorpions. There you go. Tusken Raiders are the future of humanity.
I hate them.
And we'll ride single file to hide
our
numbers.
Yeah.
I hate them.
I didn't
care. I hate them.
Not just the men, but the women and children too. God, I hate those movies. Anyway. Oh, that was another pop culture thing that shat on me today, was that the new Star Wars movie is 150 minutes long.
What?
Like 2.5 hours for Star Wars.
A Star Wars movie?
And well, I
Jesus.
And I was trying, like, I was explaining.
There's also porgs.
Yeah, porgs. Well, I'm okay on the porgs. I don't really give a shit about the porgs. It's 150 minutes. Who has 2.5 hours to sit there and watch a goddamn Star Wars movie?
Apparently it's gonna be a lot of nerds.
Oh my god. And I'm trying to complain about this to, you know, some people, and they're all like,
"That's more Star Wars."
Right? It's more Star Wars for me to enjoy. I'm like, "Oh my god!"
The only movies that are allowed to be that long are Lord of the Rings. Period.
I watched Blade Runner, and I was like, "This movie's great, but it's too long." And that movie was beautiful. That movie should win Best Picture this year. And even that was too long. Like, I was just like, "It's I have a broken back. I don't have that much time on this earth. I can't spend 3 hours of my life watching this. I just can't. I can't." But anyway, other stuff. Oh, Necromunda got released. People already complaining about that.
That's good.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Fucking nerds.
Nerds!
Well, they're releasing, I guess Forge World's doing some like Beast Man for Necromunda, and people are upset. They're just like, I can't, unless they put these characters into a compiled book, no one is going to be able to play the game. I'm like, it's fucking Necromunda, guys. Let's just get over
calm
it.
Calm down.
Yeah, calm the fuck down. It's like, it's a King of Underhive Warfare. We don't need to, like, let's not get upset about this. If Games Workshop's putting out a box set with two complete factions in it, let's just enjoy that for right now,
yeah,
okay?
Calm down, sir.
Calm
please.
Down. You know, maybe the like Blood Bowl, they did a really good release for it. Like, I know we don't give a shit about Blood Bowl, but they've put out
great release,
great box sets, and everything.
They are supporting that game very well from what I've seen. There's yeah. lots of good releases, and the models are all great.
I mean, even Shadespire needs to have a constant release schedule in order for it to be the game that they want it to be. But Necromunda is not going to be a competitive tournament minis game.
Yeah, it's not.
It's going to be I don't feel like playing 40K. I can't paint up enough.
I've got this half-painted Necromunda game.
Let's play some Necromunda.
Okay.
And it's got a board and everything, and who gives a shit? It's fucking Necromunda. It's...
I don't know.
Necromunda
man.
Was only put out there so that it could piss off Infinity players. You playing Infinity, Steve?
No.
You're playing Necromunda.
Playing the Munda.
I'm going to play some Munda.
Let's play some Munda.
But one thing I actually did like about the release for Necromunda is that the Laz guns that they gave for the gangers are based off the old Rogue Trader Laz guns.
Nice.
So they look like the old, like, really long, skinny ones. And I was like, that's a nice touch. I appreciate that. You know? Another thing, I think we've gone over. Yeah, we're over. Adepticon. They released you can buy tickets for Adepticon now. So I feel really weird because Adepticon was like when the accident happened, like right after Adepticon. So I'm like, God, it's almost it's a year from the accident. That's kind of scary. But they're already selling out of everything. I'm like, they just don't make it fun anymore.
I should probably see if they're doing Shadespire.
Oh, yeah, they're doing Shadespire. They already announced that they're doing Adepticon Shadespire.
I should get in on that.
Yeah. So you're like, that's going to be the funny... Well, I don't know. It's a couple months away, so they could have about two or three more gangs released. It could be interesting to play, at least, because now it would just be a variation on one of the four that you're playing up against at all times. So
The Skaven should be out before then, for sure.
Well, Skaven will be out for sure before then, but, I mean, Fire Slayers will probably be out before then.
Yeah.
They might do... I would not doubt every faction getting a warband probably before Adepticon. So you'll probably see Savannah. You'll probably see who are the fucking blimp guys, the Caradon Overlords.
Yeah, there's supposedly going to be another Khorne warband too.
Yeah.
It's going to be
the demons.
Demons.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't doubt like three or four more warbands released before Adepticon. Probably. At least two, at most four more warbands released. So, I mean, that would be a pretty decent variation.
Well, the fact that they mentioned, like, the boards are something you can bring with you.
Yeah.
I think they might do another set.
I don't think they'll do another set anytime soon. No. I think that will be probably, maybe by Adepticon they'll be announcing that they'll be doing another set, but I don't see there being another box set release. But
yeah, no, I look forward to playing it because I think that'll be that'll be a lot of fun. You don't have to haul a lot of shit.
No, you don't. It's a small box.
It'll be good. Yeah, and if you have the GW, there's like a really, really small case. They are like their tiny one. Yeah. The Shadespire shit, all of it fits in there perfectly.
Ah, well, there you go. And they're doing a team trivia at Adepticon this year.
You told me. I was like, is it Age of Sigmar lore?
No.
It's not.
You're not even that up to date on Age of Sigmar.
I'm not. No. I would just be interested. I want to hear about Hammerhand!
Vandas! yeah, I only know the stuff that has audiobooks because that's all I've read so far. But yeah, you have to read or listen to the Hunt for Nagash and the second one after that one because it's all got Manfred von Karstein in there and he's so much Castlevania Dracula. Like,
awesome.
What is a man?
That's good.
It's like, what is my name? My name does not matter. You know, that sort of thing. And Nagash comes in and he's pretty cool.
Sweet.
But so they did four audiobooks of it. And at the beginning of each of the audiobooks, or did that, they did four chapters to the audiobook. Each one's about an hour long. And the beginning of it is Nagash going like, I have sat here for ages. Spiders have spun webs over my eyes. And it's like, you're just like, okay, Nagash, we get it.
Calm down.
Calm down.
Calm down, you're a giant skeleton.
Yeah, they turned you into a giant skeletons.
He was always a giant skeletons.
Yeah, but I mean.
Even the old Nagash model with the doofy hat, he was still really big.
I mean, he was like, what? Like maybe 8-9 foot tall in comparison to like a normal human being?
He was like the size of the old GW giant. He was big.
I guess. I mean,
because the old GW giant was like way smaller.
Okay, so he's a giant, but now he's like giganto.
Well, yeah, so is the current giant. the current giant model is also huge.
Yeah, I guess they're about the same size. Yeah, but yeah, he's always flying with all ghost stuff around.
Oh,
him,
yeah.
Man. And you're like, calm down, Nagash. We get it. Even Sigmar is
you're,
not as
you're flying
as,
around, souls of the damned. Yep, got it. You can make skeletons anytime.
Yeah, you're upset. We get it. We get it.
You're really angry and glowing green.
Yeah, the But yeah,
how dare you?
Sigmar's not even like that. Sigmar's just like, hello.
Would you like to have a drink?
Take a hammer.
I can't drink. I don't have a stomach.
Welcome to Azerheim. Here's a hammer. Take your hammer.
Here's your hammer. Here's your stein.
Here's your hammer. Here's your beer glass. Everyone gets a hammer. Where's your hammer?
I have an axe.
That's okay. Good enough.
Next time, bring a hammer.
No swords.
No swords.
There's just signs that say no swords everywhere.
They have swords.
No, axes or hammers. That's it.
That's all they can
that's
have.
That's all they get. All
right. Go to Planet Arbitrary. Do you have anything else to talk about before I do the end credits?
Nah.
Go to PlanetArbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can find me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can find Steve at
I'm Command Throw.
Like our Facebook page /GameClassyPodcast. The best way you can help out the podcast is like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes. You can also like, comment, subscribe onto the YouTube page. You can also listen to the many, many sister podcasts that all have sprung up all of a sudden. Comic Book Logic is back. We're doing Justice League. That'll be out next week or in a couple days. You have Play On Podcast, where Steve and Pat talk about how Battlefront is a terrible game.
We actually didn't get into that because all that stuff broke after we recorded.
It's EA. How fucking stupid do you have to be to, like, of course they're going to gouge you for money.
Oh, but every It was like...
Oh, no, I get it.
Legendary.
Yeah.
Like, they reduced everything. So, from what I understand, they reduced everything by, like, 75%. And, like, I got the new numbers, and it's still absurd.
Well, yeah, it's still absurd because it's EA. They don't care about you. Like, this is what you... You did this to yourselves, gamers. You did this to yourselves. It's eventually, it'll all just fall apart like a flan in the cupboard.
I like flan.
Yes. Play On Podcast. Where have you played the new Assassin's Creed yet? The Origins?
No, I have it though.
Yeah,
I did buy it because I'm a fucking sucker for Egyptian shit. So
I'm waiting for the Steam sale. I'm gonna pick that. I gotta pick that up. I gotta pick up the Shadows of Mordor, the new one.
Also, there's apparently an amazing glitch which will probably be patched out by the time I play it. But it spawns animals.
Ooh.
But it puts their
do they have the red cape?
It spawns animals, and they're framed around a human skeleton.
Oh.
So there's, like, really weird glitches where, like, he was, like someone found it. There's, like, a fucking crocodile that has, like, weird human proportions and is, like, walking like a person, but it's got the skin mapping of the crocodile.
That's bizarre.
So it's totally weird, and it can happen with any of the animals. But they're the size of what they are supposed to be animal-wise. So there's, like, there's one that's, like, a goat, and so it's, like, a little dude walking around, but it's a goat.
I mean, people give Assassin's Creed for, like, all this shit for, like, it's wonky stuff, like it's glitches and stuff like that. They're animating an entire world for you people.
I mean, glitches are glitches. They happen. There's levels. Like the one, there was one Assassin's Creed that came out
with
that
the
was
eyeballs
like,
in the mouth.
That was really bad. Like that's like there's levels of like acceptable. Like, even Grand Theft Auto is a huge game, and like there's some glitches in Grand Theft Auto, but like the level that like sneaks through for Assassin's Creed, some of them is like ludicrous. It's like that's not okay.
I haven't played. I think Unity was the last one I played.
Yeah,
the French one. I like that one. The American Revolution one, Assassin's Creed 3, was terrible.
The one that I've heard the most people have talked about being really good is the pirate one.
Black Flag? Yeah.
I like that really, one. People really
like
that one.
That one was just good for being a pirate simulator.
Right.
No one ever wanted to go on land. You just wanted to fight boats. That's
right.
All you wanted to do. You just upgrade the shit out of your ship and blow up other ships, and it was amazing fun. But yeah.
And you could sing sea shanties.
Yes. Yeah, there's a shanty button. let's see. So you got that. You got Weeb Town. which another episode just came out.
Yes, we are. We've transferred over to being a YouTube show now.
Oh, okay. So it's a YubTub show.
Yes. Although our the last episode, our audio got fucked up, so you can barely hear us. But but luckily the video is very entertaining because we played a shoot 'em up, Galadriel's Blaze, and there is just shit like all over the screen.
And then what's the one that Pat's doing now with the
Deconstructed Daycare.
Deconstructed Daycare. With Pat and
I listened to the first episode, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, and it's your sister, right?
Yes.
Yeah, your Steve's sister and her husband talk about kids' cartoons.
They go deep
into it.
They go deep.
I don't know what Pat's talking about. Pat only watches Paw Patrol. That's all he watches.
No.
I've watched a bunch of kids' stuff, and I'm just like, that's great. I watched DuckTales, all the new DuckTales that they put on Disney. Pretty good. Not as good as the old one.
No, it's not.
Well, the old one, it's like if they took the voice actors from the new one and put them into the old one, it'd be much better.
They also don't, from what I've seen, they don't have the butler. Which is totally weird.
Why would they need the butler?
Because he was an integral character.
He was not an integral character.
He would drive Scrooge McDuck around.
He did nothing in the original.
Yeah, he drove Scrooge McDuck's giant fucking limo. It was a Rolls Royce.
They
like fused him with Mrs. Beakley.
Yeah, Mrs. Beakley is now like fucking the fucking odd job.
Yeah.
He's just fucking like this crazy butler, like super butler.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And then do they have Gizmo Duck?
Not yet, but they
Gizmo Duck.
They've hinted at Gizmo Duck being around, because they've had Fenton.
I do like Webigail. I like her. I like the new her new characterization. Yeah. Like,
well,
they
it's
made
Kate Micucci, and she literally does a voice on everything now.
Okay,
so.
Well, they made her older, because
she
was the youngest in the original, so she was like there was not. The nephews and Webigail are better in the new version.
Oh,
than
yeah,
because
they give them personalities.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of they were basically MacGuffins in the original.
Well, I mean,
and I like that Flintheart Glomgold was immediately like established.
Well,
that
Flintheart's
cool.
was only the villain in like two episodes.
The first
original.
Episode. I've only seen the first episode.
Well, no, I'm talking in the original series. He was only the villain in like
two. Oh no,
he's
in a lot of episodes.
No, he's only actually in two.
He's in the movie for sure.
Yeah, he's in the movie. No, Flintheart's only
he's
in like
got to be in more than two.
No, it's Flintheart's only into the Beagle
Magic
Boys.
Magic Dispel isn't a lot.
She's in a couple, but she also, a lot of people remember her because she had a bigger part in...
I love me some Magic Dispel.
She had a bigger part in Darkwing Duck.
Magic Dispel's not in Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, she is. She was part of the Duck, the superheroes, all of the Duck superheroes that get together.
Magic and a Spell?
Yeah.
I do not remember her being in Darkwing Duck at all.
Watch some of the old episodes. They're bringing back Darkwing Duck in the DuckTales show. He's coming in.
Really?
Yeah, they're going to do right, Darkwing
pretty,
Duck.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
the new Duck metaverse, the Duckiverse.
Well, they've already talked about St. Canard, which is from Tailspin. And
Tailspin.
St. Canard is
that's where
Darkwing
Duck. Darkwing Duck is.
It's the whatever one they're from Tailspin they've talked about already, which would be amazing.
With another Tailspin. So you're telling me that this show is actually just going to become the Disney Afternoon.
Which would be amazing, wouldn't
it? They could have the Rescue Rangers.
It would be great if Disney... Well, the Rescue Rangers, you can't, because the Rescue Rangers exist outside of the Duckverse.
But they could. They could bring the Rescue Rangers in.
I don't know, because the Rescue Rangers are tiny.
But they could stay tiny, because everyone else is normal size. No scale changes in the Duckverse. So, like, in a Donald Duck cartoon with Chip and Dale are small, Donald Duck is duck-sized. So if you put Chip and Dale into DuckTales, they would still be small.
Well, and because, like, the girlfriend from the Goofy movie is in the new DuckTales cartoon.
Which girlfriend? Max's girlfriend or Goofy's girlfriend?
Max's girlfriend.
Okay.
So, like, she's, like, a non-speaking, she's, like, a background character, but I immediately recognize her from the Goofy movie.
Mm-hmm. The freckles and the red hair, you can't miss it.
So I was like, wait, does this exist in the same universe as the Goofy universe?
So there you go. The Goofy...
But the Goofy universe never referenced anything in DuckTales.
You know what? It's all coming together. Yeah. It's all being fused. It's all being merged.
Yeah, but
I
will argue about
all of the metaverses are coalescing into one.
Because DuckTales exists in a human universe. Humans don't exist in the Duck universe. So humans...
There's no humans in DuckTales.
No, in Chip and Dale.
Oh, Chip and Dale's.
Yeah. Chip and Dale has humans.
Are there humans?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen Chip and Dale
So that's why
forever.
It's too...
Because
like,
I remember their villain was
maybe,
a big fat cat.
Yeah. Maybe if like Fenton Crackshell invents like a portal gun that takes him to an alternate universe
there
with Chip
go.
And Dale, I could see that.
Sometimes some crimes
go slipping through the cracks, but these two gumshoes are picking up the slack. There's no case too big, no case too small. If you need help, just call Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Chip and Dale, when there's danger,
they'll find the clues. They'll find the where's, the why's, the who's.
My daughter hates the fact that I sing the DuckTales theme song every time it comes. And it's not even the original. It's like a newer version with a girl singing it. But it's the same lyrics.
Yeah, life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg.
That's like, she's just like, why do you sing this every time? I'm like, you have to. Once you learn the lyrics to a DuckTales song.
It's true.
Now, the gummy bears do not exist in either universe.
No, they could, but they would have long died off because they were in the Middle Ages.
They could exist in the Chip and Dale universe because there's humans.
Oh, true. Yeah, so that could be a prequel to Chip and Dale.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it's the Middle Ages, so they wouldn't be alive by the time Chip and Dale is there.
In all honesty, I don't think they could do gummy bears because I don't know if they necessarily own the rights to gummy bears anymore if Disney owns...
I thought it was an original Disney series.
Yeah, but I don't know necessarily because, like... The idea of gummy bears, like, I don't know. Disney's weird about certain shit, right? Because aren't gummy bears technically owned by, like, Haribo or something like that, the candy?
Those are gummy G-U-M-M-I-E.
Okay.
And the gummy bears are G-U-M-M-Y. Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, that would be an amazing fucking show if they did it nowadays. Like, what? Because even back then, like, the mythology that they built around the gummy bear universe was amazing, so...
Okay, in Darkwing Duck, in Like Blunt, Glomgold makes a cameo appearance with the Beagle Boys and Magical Dispel as a bidder for a secret agent list.
Okay.
So there you go. So confirmed, Darkwing Duck, same universe as
DuckTales. Oh, yeah. Well, of course, because, dude, it's got a...
Launchpad.
Launchpad.
Yes.
I mean, the Launchpad's a main character.
But the person who used Launchpad never officially confirmed that it was the same universe.
So you're saying that there's two Launchpads existing in multiple universes.
Right. It's a multiverse where one Launchpad goes to work for Scrooge and the other works with Darkwing.
But now that we know that they exist in the same universe.
Yes. So we can say that this is... So the question becomes, is Darkwing...
Darkwing Duck.
In the old one, is Darkwing Duck a prequel to DuckTales or is DuckTales a prequel to Darkwing Duck?
No, Darkwing Duck exists after DuckTales because Launchpad constantly talks about how he used to work for Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. Everyone knew they existed in the same universe. But the question was whether or not Tailspin exists in the same universe as Darkwing Duck or as DuckTales.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, but now it is confirmed because they talk about the city that Tailspin takes place in.
Okay.
So we now know that even though Duckburg is a city mostly inhabited by ducks with a few dogs here and there, especially like the Beagle Boys, because we know that dogs are the second class citizens in Duckburg because it is Duckburg, not Dogburg. So we know all this is happening, that we know that there are other animal cities that exist as well as Zootopia.
It's true.
Does Zootopia exist in the same universe?
I believe Zootopia is in its own universe.
Oh, okay. So we can't have any Shakira singing in the background.
No Shakira singing. No Judy Hopps showing up in DuckTales. Although that would be a very easy thing to just just be like, oh, yeah, it's Judy Hopps.
Yeah.
She's a rabbit.
Yeah. Then every animator or every drawer on not 4chan, like DeviantArt would be just like. You have Scrooge McDuck having sex with Judy Hopps.
The only reason I would say that there would not be a universal crossover or like universal crossover is because animals in Zootopia, while bipedal and sentient, are still the relative sizes of what they were. In DuckTales, they're like human sized.
Yeah, I think
Like it wouldn't make any sense because a duck in Zootopia would be duck size.
Yeah.
So he'd be like very small.
That's true. Yeah, I guess. And the dogs would be bigger. But Goofy's tall.
But Goofy's
and so
not
is Pete.
Goofy and Pete aren't Zootopia rules. Zootopia rules are the only animals where they're their appropriate size is Zootopia rules. In DuckTales verse, in the Disney Afternoon
verse. Yeah, but we don't necessarily know if anything's out of scale because we haven't seen many animals inside the.
They would be because there's tons of different scale constantly in Zootopia. Like there's multiple sized doors.
Well, that's only because Zootopia is a city where all animals exist. It's like a free city. But in Duckburg is literally called Duckburg, so it's mostly inhabited by ducks with a few odd creatures here and there.
Well, I mean, but Scrooge's butler is a dog.
No, that's in the old DuckTales. This is new DuckTales.
Oh,
well. You see, you're not getting this, Steve. You got to keep up with the trends.
What about gargoyles? Are they in the same universe as gummy bears?
Gargoyles are not.
They could be in the same universe as gummy bears.
Could be. Could be as good as
Chippendales. Chippendales and Gargoyles could have a crossover. That'd be sick. I fucking loved Gargoyles as a kid. I thought that show was the fucking shit.
You're a little younger than me, so it was a little bit past my prime.
I fucking loved that show.
I mean, it's a great show. The ones that I did catch.
Batman animated series.
Da-da-da-da. Apparently, the new Batman theme is being used in the Justice League movie. The old Batman theme, the 89 one.
Oh, the Keaton one?
Yeah, the Danny Elfman did all the music for the Justice League. All
right. So the music's going to be good.
I haven't heard a music score in a long time that's piqued my interest. Was pretty good, but
trying to think of the last one.
It was Mark
really
Mothersbaugh, so you can't get that wrong with it. He's the guy from Devo, just in case you're wondering. So anyway,
whip it.
So Steve, until next time.
Flint Heart Glomgold was definitely in more than two episodes.
Game classy.